All right. What's up, people? My name is Tim Black. Welcome to the Tim Black Show. Glad you could be here. This is Pause with Tim Black. We do this every Wednesday. This is officially part of the Tim Black Pause podcast that goes out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Anchor, and anywhere else you get podcasts from. That's what we do. That's what it is, Johnson. That's what it is. I got some stuff to say, context. David, I got some stuff to say. And I don't think the timid are going to want to hear it. Luckily for me, I don't have a bunch of timid viewers on the Pause with Tim Black podcast. Now, we got rid of the timid viewers a long time ago. So we're going to flush the toilet on all the nonsense tonight. We're going to make sure that people get it. If they don't get it, they can get the hell out of here, Johnson. That's what they could do. They can get the hell out of here. Because we are in it. Put that back here. Look at all this. Look at all this. We've been doing our thing. We've been doing our thing, context. You know what I'm saying? We've been doing it, boning up. And we are ready to make it do what it do. So, first things first. The hearings are still going on, ladies and gentlemen. The hearings are still going on. Oh, I'm sorry. First things first. Cut the check. Cut the check. That's right. That's right, Johnson. That's right. That's right. That's right. Whew. Are we ready now? Oh, Tim Black's Wolfpack in the house. If you like what you're about to witness, what you're about to hear, this content, go to jointimblack.com, become a member of the Tim Black Wolfpack, starting at only $5 a month. You get content, all this content. We put out a lot of content. We put our time into it. We speak truth to power, and frankly, that's a bargain. It's a steal, but not that steal Donald Trump said he had. Because that was no steal. That was not a steal. That was a whip appeal. That was whip appeal. Okay, guys, we ready to go? Are we ready to go, Johnson? Can we get into this? Yes, Tim, we've been ready to go. We're waiting on you. Okay, I'm not going to look at the numbers. We're good. So the hearings, the January 6th hearings are still underway. And the Democrats are having a field day on these hearings. Some people are being sucked, their brains are being sucked out of their skulls behind these damn hearings, Johnson. I mean, they are just, I don't know what they think's gonna happen. What's supposed to happen? But they say, Tim, justice must prevail. We must seek justice. We gotta have justice, Tim. Black justice, justice, justice. Now, as a black man, excuse me for being a little pessimistic about the word justice. This is the same country that had two white boys kill a 14-year-old black boy. Two grown-ass white men, I should say, and others. We don't even talk about the fact they had others. Torture. Torture. Murder, and throw his body in a Hetchahatchee River for talking to I don't even know if he even spoke to this white woman. Of course, I'm talking about Emmett Till. And none of these men went to jail. Were convicted, didn't go to jail, and then a week after they were not convicted, put out news articles. Did a sit-down interview saying, yeah, we did it, and we'll do it again. So, I'm sorry. That was only 60 years ago. It wasn't 160 years ago. And the woman who orchestrated the whole thing, the woman behind the whole thing, whose allegations led to the lynching of Emmett Till, admitted that nothing happened, that she made it all up, that she was coerced and made it up or whatever, and no justice with her either. So the men that killed and tortured Emmett Till, no justice. The woman who's still alive today, who lied on the stand and lied, 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 lied. No justice. To the family members of Emmett Till, no justice. No justice for the community. Imagine what if, you know, we talk a lot about what happens, and I know some of you don't want to give a shit about this, that's fine. Or you can learn something. Learn something new. Come on now, this is CRT. It's going to kill you, but you know, you'll die knowing some stuff. It's not going to be in your history books. Because it make people look bad. No one talks about it. All the people in the community that were damaged by this. We don't often talk about the post-traumatic stress disorder from being black and living around these events. We know how we act. We hear about a child being kidnapped or tortured. Something happened to a child in your neighborhood that sends ripples across. What if it was because the child was black? And what if the people who did it, everyone knew who it was? And there was nowhere to go to because the cops know the guys, they're friends with them, or they're part of the guys that did it. This happened all over the South for a couple hundred years. No one talks about what that does to people. What it does to the family structure, the peace in the home, the tranquility, if any, the feeling of safety and security that people could feel. Pretty non-existent when anybody could just come in and take your child, kill them if they want to, and face no repercussions whatsoever. So, you know, when we talk about justice, and I hear a lot of people throw that word around there. We need justice, Tim. Maybe you should say that around people that who are uninformed about how America really gets down, Johnson. Maybe we could do that. I mean, just out of respect, maybe you could shut up and save that shit for people who believe that America provides justice. Most of the people that are in jail are there because they don't have money to bond out. They haven't even been tried yet. You talk about fucking justice. Justice. Grow up! But okay. Okay. Here to the clouds. I know I get you. Here to the clouds. Want to pretend that the world is something that's not? Helps you sleep at night? Ooh, look at you. Itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Out come the rain. Aren't you so cute with your little dreams and shit? Of America that don't exist. That has never existed for us. And really, it's never existed for you. You just watch a lot of TV. Here we go. These hearings, these January 6th hearings, people, are amazing. People say, Tim Black, why don't you take them so serious, more seriously? Who's paying you, Tim Black? You're not taking these seriously. You must be bored off. Because you don't care about these hearings that are going to liberate the folks. I want to understand, why should I take hearings seriously that sound more like NBA playoffs, more like recaps of Game of Thrones? That sound more like gearing up for Super Bowl Sunday. Folks, here goes a clip from the Rachel Maddow Show, a very respected, highly paid MSNBC host, producer, and more.
This is going to do it for us for right now, but I want you to know we're all going to have a very busy week together. I will see you again tomorrow night at 9 Eastern for a rare Tuesday edition of the Rachel Maddow Show. I know. On Wednesday morning, MSNBC will have special live coverage of the next January 6th investigation hearing. The hearing Wednesday morning starts at 10 a.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. We will all be right back here with another recap of the day's hearing. We are pledging to do that the night after every one of the daytime hearings. Watch the hearing when it's live, but come here to stay with us the night after those hearings, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. We will recap what happened. You will not miss a thing. So much to do.
Damn. Sound like I'm watching ESPN. That sound like I'm watching FS1 with Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. Yeah, that's what it sound like. Oh, come on, Skip. Oh, now, Skip. Come on now, Skip. Come on, Skip. Skip. Oh, Skip. Get that black woman out of here. Come on, Skip. You know I like white girls. Come on, Skip. In what world is Rachel Maddow taken seriously? People were cheering, Johnson. They're cheering. Rachel Maddow's covering the six of them, and she's really deciphering. She's deciphering the January 6th events. They're going to sacrifice a child during the breaks. They're going to teach us how to scramble an egg like Gordon Ramsay. Going to cook his famous couscous at the top of the hour. Lizzo's going to come out and twerk. Barf bags will be sent. I'm fat too. Hey, if I'm fat and you're fat, you can't say I'm body shaming. You can't say it. All right, here's the thing, Johnson. I don't want to spend time on this. This is supposed to have been short. But for those people that appreciate what I'm saying, who get where I'm coming from, I just want to say the commodification of our news information, data, important information of the day has bastardized to such an extent any usefulness out of this shit that could be found. They have siphoned the way the trust of the people. Less than 10% of Americans even believe what they watch on cable news media. They're turning to us, and there they have to. So therefore, they must discredit us regular people. The regular people that tell you the regular shit, the true shit. So now it is what it is. They are something. They look so giddy about insurrection and the attempt to overthrow our government. They look so happy. They're so ecstatic.
This is going to do it for us for right now, but I want you to know we're all going to have a very busy week together.
Look how happy they are. It's about death. People died, ma'am. People lost their lives, and you don't seem to be that disturbed. Could it be? Bullshit. All right, I'm going to stop because I know I have some people that really think, hey, we got to do something, Tim, man. It's like everything else, and I get what you're going. Look. I'm not saying what Donald Trump did was right to fan the flames, to think in the moment, gratuitous bastard. Yeah, let's do this. And, encourage this shit. What I'm saying is they have enough to charge anybody. And if not, it looks like a waste of fucking time, Johnson. They could be talking about poverty. They could be talking about reparations. They could be talking about why black people can't get home loans or get their values appraisals on their homes so they can build equity so they can provide for their children better. Everybody wants to talk about, hey, why don't the black families stay together? Black family, it can keep breaking up. They don't have the morals. Maybe it's stress because we broke. Number one reason why families break up is money. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's financial stress which causes so much contention, tension in families that lead to people, I don't know. Maybe stress in relationships. Maybe that stress is rooted in finances, economics. But see, when we start asking questions instead of listening to some blithering, blathering asshole from Prager University talk shit who's collecting money from some right-wing organization. Until we stop listening to those guys, we're never really going to get down to the bottom of the situation. And when it all comes out in the wash, when you check the pockets, when you run the tape, when you watch the instant replay, when you break down the DNA, when you examine the remnants, when you read the tea leaves, the hieroglyphics, when you see that expression on your mama's face, follow the money, dummy. Follow the money. The dinero. That's the title of today's show, Johnson. I want to thank you for being here. Let's get started with some real shit. First things first, Dr. Fauci tested positive for COVID-19. Oh, the right wing is having fun with this one. Oh, the conservatives are loving this one. Oh, wow. Man, you would have thought Ronald Reagan came back from the grave, Johnson. We are having fun on this one. Oh, shit. I haven't heard someone say, I told you, this many times since, I don't know, since the ending to Dexter. I told you. Dr. Fauci tests positive for COVID-19. Of course, we don't know who Dr. Fauci is, that short guy that no one likes except MSNBC and CNN people. I don't know. A lot of people like him. A lot of people don't like him. He's polarizing. That's why we know who he is. President Biden's leading chief medical advisor and the leader against the fight against the coronavirus epidemic tested positive for the COVID-19 virus, announced by the National Health Institute today. The NIH said in a statement that Fauci, 81. Fauci's 81? I'm surprised. I'm being honest, y'all. Hold on a second. I didn't know Fauci was 81. I was thinking 71. Fauci must have some black in his family because it's not cracking. Like, who thought Fauci was 81? Someone said 86. No, 81. Give the guy a break. He is fully vaccinated. Has been boosted not once, but twice. He is experiencing mild symptoms. And he's on a rapid antigen. And the result was a positive test on a rapid antigen test. He will return to work at the NHI after he tests his positive. Or once he tests negative, because he tests positive. It's not positive to test positive. It's negative to test positive. So when he tests negative, that'll be a positive. He'll get his ass back to work. They say the NIH confirmed Fauci's taking the antiviral drug Paxlovid, which has been proven to reduce the risk of hospitalization or bye-bye. And we could go on to more about Fauci, but we know Fauci is. Folks, let's not make fun of Fauci. What, he took the, he, so here guys, like, he had a good run. He had a good run. Nancy Pelosi, the Obamas, five Republicans, like a lot of people caught COVID. having a shot is not going to mean you're going to get it. It just means that hopefully you survive it. So that's what I thought it was. But of course, I told you he was lying, asshole. I told you, Tim. Tim, won't you wake up, Tim? You should hear some of the even more. You should hear some of the, oh, Tim. I like you, Tim, and damn it. You're all right for a black fella, but Jesus Christ, man. Wake up, man. Wake up. They don't really say that, but that's how it sounds when they're writing to me on Facebook. It's like, Jesus, man, come on, man. Jesus Christ, man. So I don't know what to tell you about Fauci other than okay. It's all right. It just bothers me that people are kind of happy about it. Now, I've never been happy about someone getting sick. That's not true. Don't strike me down. That's not true at all. I very rarely get happy about people getting sick. That's a true statement. All right. Next story. The Buffalo Mass shooter. Peyton Gendron. The one who shot up the black folks at the supermarket in Buffalo is facing now a string of hate crime charges. He's accused of shooting 13 people ages 20 to 86 at the Tops Friendly Market on May 14th. 11 were black and 2 were white, Buffalo police said. The white people, he didn't. It was an accident. He was shooting. Hit one guy in the leg. I know about the other person. But all the people that died were black. I can hear you now. Oh, but I thought you said it was racial. Bullets do what they want to do sometimes. What we know about Buffalo supermarket shooter, Peyton Gendron, I got some information that's very disturbing about his thought process and also his commitment to being a terrorist to black people. He's charged with 10 counts of hate crime resulting in death, 3 counts of hate crime involving bodily injury, 10 counts of use of a firearm to commit murder during in relation to a violent crime, and 3 counts of use and discharge of a firearm during a violent crime, according to the criminal complaint. The latter 3 counts carry the potential of the death penalty. Now, currently in that state, there's been a hold on federal executions while the department reviews the department's policies and procedures. It has to make a decision on whether to seek the death penalty. So it's not decided. It's not out the window. It may happen. They may seek the death penalty. And really, Johnson, I mean, I'm a person who opposes the death penalty because I know how it's applied. Rich people don't get the death penalty. And there's a reason for that. The quality of counsel, the amount of money that you can pour into your counsel affects the outcomes that you have. So that's my problem, and also the biased nature of our jury pools and every bit of our criminal justice system. And it's the white supremacy goes deep. Black bad, white good. It's very basic. Not in all cases, but it has reared its head, and that's what we discover about our criminal justice system. So based on that, I can't support it, but I got to tell you, if I was a person who was in favor of the death penalty, Peyton, I know you're 18, but we all got to go sometime. So this Gendron is expected to appear in court tomorrow. What I want to share to you, which is kind of different, well, new information is very chilling information. It appears, based on what they've been finding, they've been going through all his belongings, going through writings, receipts. It's worse than we imagine. Peyton Gendron had been planning this for years. Authorities say the Genron traveled more than 3 hours from his home to the supermarket. We know this. He fired about 60 shots. He returned to the front of the store where he was met by the Buffalo Police Department, where he surrendered. They took him into custody. And these things we all know. We know about the etchings on his rifle. Some were words, some were the names of other mass shooters, other were slurs to black people. One of the slurs were, "Here's your reparations." But what's in that complaint that's different, folks, that's new information, is the extent that's mentioned in the complaint of how much planning Glenron did to carry out these events. The massacre. He wrote a self-described manifesto. Hate that word. Gives it too much credence. He detailed what clothes he was going to wear. Had diagrams of the store. Stated his intention to prevent black people from replacing the white race. We can't even replace the cast. Black people can't even replace the cast of Frasier. And this dumb young motherfucker, racist, thinks we're replacing white people. We own less than 2% of the wealth in this country. And he believes, I wonder what kind of media he was consuming. Less than 2% of the wealth in the country we built for free against our will. And he thinks we're taking over America and we're replacing black people because he saw us in a couple commercials. Thanks, Adam Carolla. Yeah, Adam Carolla is one of these fake-ass comedians that for some reason a certain blend of white people like. Who says shit like, "Oh God, you see, we're putting more black people in these commercials, more of these mixed families in these cereal commercials." Yeah, but who's behind the camera, Adam? Who's behind the fucking camera? And who's deciding to do it? People that want to make money. Exploiting black people for money has never been a problem in this country. It's been done very successfully. It's been done for hundreds of years, since the inception of this country. In fact, some historians would argue there would be no America without exploiting black people. So I just want to float the idea of what was Peyton Glendron listening to? What was he consuming? I got a feeling it wasn't the Tim Black Show. I wonder what it was. In the manifesto, the teenager drafted a goodbye letter. The authorities believe he later wrote up separately and left it in his bedroom. Prosecutors say that Glenron went to Tops 3 times prior to the attack to scout the environment. He made sketches of the interior. He counted the number of black people inside and outside the store. He observed the presence of 2 armed black security guards, noted the number of black people in the area of the cash registers. 2 hours before the shooting, the complaint states he again went to Tops one last time to count the number of black individuals there. Prosecutors notably revealed that Glenron, fuck his name. He methodically shot black people. Did not kill a white employee who had been hit in the leg by a bullet. Rather than shooting him, Gendron said sorry before moving on to the rest of the store in search of more black people to shoot and kill. That's right, folks. I'm not a person who supports the death penalty for the reasons I laid out. sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Next. Bernie Sanders debates Lindsey Graham. You thought I wasn't going to cover it because, frankly, well, I haven't been too concerned, too energized by the political landscape lately. Nor have I been too much willing to put my thoughts into what's going on with the Democratic Party and its political operatives. Bernie Sanders, full disclosure, Bernie Sanders was who I supported in 2016 and in 2020. Find myself in a predicament of feeling a little bewildered by some of the activities of Bernie Sanders. But of the candidates, of the presidential candidates, he was by far the best choice. Based on policy. Save for others who had mentions of reparations, but the other part, but this is keeping a buck here. Bernie had a shot, they didn't. Be that as it may. Bernie Sanders knocked the stuffing out of Lindsey Graham. This is something that no one should be surprised about. It was hosted, let me get my phone out. It was in a debate that was hosted in Boston, Massachusetts. It has been held by Fox News, moderated by Brett Baer, and it will air on Fox News on Saturday. So finding clips has been a little bit difficult, but I was able to secure the clips and watch half of the actual broadcast. And folks, I'm here to tell you, Bernie did his thing. Bernie Sanders did his thing on the policy front. Now, when I'm watching this, the first thing that Bernie brought up was the fact that he's an independent. He is not a Democrat. He caucuses with the Democrats for the same reason some of the people that you may know who run for office run as Democrats, because pretty much the way our system's set up, running as anything else is almost a sure dusting. Anybody that you know who has run, if they would have ran for as a Democrat, they would have got less votes because of the way our political structure is in these states. It's our elections. They favor the two-party system. So Bernie opened up with his greatest hits. He talked about health care. He talked about working class and middle class facing an unprecedented level of income inequality. He talked about becoming an oligarchy. Half of America living paycheck to paycheck. Healthcare is a human right, not as a luxury, but as what you get for being a citizen of the United States, a human being, in a superpower, in a first world country. Healthcare, the ability to go to a doctor, whether you got money in the bank or not. Whether you live on the right side of the tracks, the wrong side of the tracks, or if you cut tracks, or if you wear tracks, don't matter. He also talked about ending the corrupt political system, which to me is the biggest point he made. The corrupt political system. And he went at Lindsey Graham, both boroughs smoking about him taking money from super PACs. Lindsey Graham didn't have much of a response to Bernie's charges. He just kept going to the tried and tested and proven nonsense that the Republicans love to use, which is immigration, gas prices, and cut taxes. Is that it? Oh, inflation. Immigration, gas taxes, inflation. Immigration, gas taxes, inflation. He did that every time he talked. It was the same stuff. every time. Demonize the southern border. That's the problem, is we got Mexicans, Guatemalans. He brought up, Lindsey Graham also brought up, at one point he said, you know, we're paying $800 a day to house an immigrant child, an illegal immigrant, an undocumented immigrant, okay? He said illegal. Undocumented is the term, right? Here's the thing, Johnson. As I'm sitting back listening to Lindsey Graham say this shit, I'm thinking to myself, Johnson, which is all I can do. I can't think to you, can I? I don't know why I say shit like that. You know, I was thinking to myself. Who else you gonna think to, Tim? Here's the thing. Who the hell else, who's collecting the money that the $800 is going to? Like, if we're spending $800, who's collecting it? See, follow the money. Always follow the money, Johnson. Follow the money, and that will tell you all you need to know. It'll tell you what's up on Lindsey Graham, what's important about Lindsey Graham, what you should listen to, and why Lindsey Graham is full of nonsense. And he is full of nonsense, baby. Listen, Lindsey Graham didn't want to talk about the corruption that's in our political system. He didn't want to talk about the super PAC money that Bernie pointed out that fuels what happens on Capitol Hill where decisions are made. What legislation is created. Bernie also pointed out to great effect that Lindsey Graham is a big-time recipient of super PAC money, which Lindsey Graham lied, you know, he threw up some false flag nonsense about him collecting this money, small dollar donations. Lindsey Graham is on record, Johnson, on record. Everyone knows. The billionaires are what kept Lindsey Graham in the Senate. He defeated Jamie Harrison with billionaire money. Not small dollar donations, but he'll sit there, he'll lie. Those that like him will lie with him or lie for him. So Lindsey Graham dancing around what's true about his campaigns, about what's keeping him in power. It ain't his policy. It's his money. It's the cash. Same thing we just saw with Jim Clyburn. Jim Clyburn, if you don't have the money to put out on the airways, how horrible Jim Clyburn has been doing for his district. That he's in the sixth most poorest district in the country. And he's having fish fries to make it look like he cares about people. He the most progressive that's ever been progressive. He's an obsessive progressive. That money is the root of winning elections. Same holds true for Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham also went back and forth with the defund the police and smear tactics to defund the police. And so that's pretty much the wheelhouse of the Republican talking points. This is what will be said all of 2024. Defund the police, as if police don't already have enough money in the budgets. Some state budgets are 40% of the state budget goes right to law enforcement. Not enough for Lindsey. I wonder if police unions are part of his super PACs. It's our political system. Now, I have not taken the time to watch other people cover this. Lindsey Graham, horrible representation. Lying or obfuscating. Deflecting, denying obvious realities about his campaign donations, about his super PAC allegiance, and about how that impacts his politics, and denying that that's important. Bernie Sanders pointed out that in our system, 15,000 healthcare and pharmaceutical industry lobbyists sit on Capitol Hill. That's part of the reason why we don't have a universal healthcare system, because of the amount of money that these lobbyists, and these lobbyists by extension, these corporations, these pharmaceutical and healthcare companies are willing to dump into politicians' coffers to run for office. And when they pay for you, they pay for you. They get their money's worth. And it was really hard listening to Lindsey Graham because every other thing out of Lindsey Graham's mouth is either a straw man or some nonsense. Gaslighting nonsense about immigrants or defunding the police. Tens of millions of workers are earning starvation wages, and Lindsey Graham could not be concerned about that at all. He just kept pointing out. And the only point that Lindsey Graham made that I felt was relevant was that, yes, the Democratic Party is in power. House, Senate, and the White House. The Democratic Party can't get out of the Democratic Party's way. So I agree with that. But Bernie said in the beginning of the show, in the beginning of the debate, I'm not a Democrat, I'm an independent. I'm the longest standing independent in the Senate. Doesn't matter. Lindsey Graham tries to tie into that. And so all of that. But the super PAC money, Johnson. And that's why I titled this show. One of the reasons why I titled this show, Follow the Money. The super PAC money, super PACs group their money together, fund candidates. In fact, in most cases, or in some notable cases, they spend more on the campaign than the actual candidate themselves. They are actually owning the campaign. You're not even running against the person you think you're running against. You are running against their super PAC donations. It talked a lot about major oil production. Lindsey did not want to talk about ExxonMobil and the billions of dollars in profits they were making. Sticking to the talking points of blaming the Democrats for gas prices. That the opportunistic nature of the oil manufacturers going, yay, now's the time we can say supply chain. Hell, I had to take my, take a car in for a busted light, a busted mirror, side view mirror, passenger side mirror. And the lady was saying, well, you know, let's see if we have this because it's an older model. It's an older minivan. And my dad left me. And she said, I hope they have this part because, you know, all that's going on with the pandemic and, you know, COVID and Corona and, I said, you mean the supply chain? She said, yeah, that's it. The supply chain may be down. Maybe a little more than usual. So, yeah. It's the same thing that the gas companies have been using to pad their books. Damn near record-setting profits. The last time our gas was $118 a barrel, gas prices were $3.83. Not $5, which is what they are in Maryland. I don't know what they are where you are. And, you know, and Lindsey kept going back to socialism. All the dreaded socialism. So look, I'm not going to bore you with more of this, but what I want you to know, what I think is important, is for you to realize that Lindsey Graham is horrible. But I also want to make it clear that the Democrats are also their own blend of horrible. The person that ran against Lindsey Graham took super PAC money. His name is Jamie Harrison. There is no way Jamie Harrison raised $130 million, damn near twice what Lindsey Graham raised, without taking super PAC money. So I don't even have to look that part up, because Jamie Harrison is not that charismatic. He is not Obama, okay? Obama probably took super PAC money too, didn't he? But yeah, so Bernie's there crucifying Graham for doing what his challenger also did. So Look, the story of this election, this is Graham and his people talking about beating Harrison. Harrison's fundraising was so astounding, many ask, how could he possibly spend all the money in a state where relatively cheap airtime is available? In one quarter, Jamie Harrison raised $57 million. These are unprecedented numbers in the Democratic Party. How can you have a debate and this not come up? I didn't watch the entire debate. I watched the first half of it. I watched when they were sitting up and debating. The next half, Brett Baier and Bernie and Lindsey Graham sat down and talked. That's where I cut it off. But look, guys, if you're going to call out Lindsey Graham for corruption, for Super PAC money, and I believe that's at the root of all our problems. No matter what it is, money's always at the root of it. Racism is a tool of greed. They're using race to extract wealth. Yes, we have some racist and people that hate other people for gender orientation, what have you. Religion, that's true. But at the end of the day, they're using it typically to extract money, to become wealthy. But my thing is, you're calling this out about Lindsey Graham, but the Democrats are doing the same thing. And the reason why Lindsey Graham is in office and that you're having this debate with Lindsey Graham is that he not being outraged by a Democrat who was taking Super PAC money, he was still able to defeat him somehow. It says that this guy, Jamie Harrison, at some points I was being outraged 3-1, but we adjusted. We've created a fundraising apparatus that will be the template for the Republicans in the future. So I think at the end of the day, out-of-state spending on both sides was astronomically high. According to federal election data, about 93% of Harrison's contributions came from outside South Carolina. 87% of Graham's came from outside of the state. I think at the end of the day, Graham ended up raising about $100 million. Jamie Harrison set records, raising like 130, 100, some say 140. And he lost by 11 points. Jamie Harrison lost by 11 points, and he spent almost $140 million. I would read you the jokes that were said about Jamie Harrison, but I'm not a Lindsey Graham fan. I think Lindsey Graham is a liar, straight up. He's a liar. He's a smear merchant. Not interested in Lindsey Graham. I don't agree with his politics or his tactics, okay, at all. But what I'm pointing out is the corruption is on both sides of the aisle. It's in our politics, it's embedded in our politics, and it is what it is. That's the problem. And if whatever your policies are, if the people want it, that should be it. There's one part where Lindsey Graham even said it. He said, look, if you got all these great ideas, Bernie, why don't you get the Democrats to bring them to the floor to introduce these legislations? And then if the people really want them, the people that vote against them, they'll vote them out. They'll lose their jobs. Case closed. But that's not how it works, is it, Lindsey? Because when you have corruption in our politics, whoever has the most money usually wins. 90% of the time, the candidate with the most money wins the election. So even if the people don't want you, but you have the money to be up on these airwaves, you have the money to, if they don't want the policies, but if the challenger does not have the money to blanket the airwaves, to combat your attacks, and to inform the public, let them know. Do you believe that for instance, in South Carolina, right there where Clyburn is, do you believe that the people that voted for Jim Clyburn, 90% of the voters voted for Jim Clyburn, 9 out of 10, do you think they know that their district is the sixth lowest economically viable district in the country. It has the longest sitting majority whip, the highest esteemed black congressperson who's buddies with his pal Joe. You think those people know this? You think they have an idea of how bad off they are and how well off Clyburn is? And look, I'm not even saying Clyburn's, I don't know about his finances. I'm talking about what he does in his campaign. So people are not informed. So that's why I talked about last night about building a broader coalition in order to be able to put the money in place in order to be competitive. Broader coalition's doesn't just mean different color faces supporting you. It also means supporting you. And policies that are interesting to them as well to get that support in order to also achieve the policy goals that you have in mind. You're going to get everyone. Not everyone. I'm not saying change your ideals. I'm not saying change your goals. I'm saying it's important to strategize. Back to Lindsey Graham and back to Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders talks a great game. It's the reason why I supported him initially. Because I believe healthcare is a human right. I believe that we should not even pay for school. School should be free in a country, a superpower that's competing against other countries like China, Germany, whatever. We need to be able to have this. They don't pay for school. And if they do, it's nominal compared to what we do. Okay? So that's just facts. We got to do something about the homeless problem and income inequality. And two, wealthiest Americans shouldn't own more wealth than the bottom 40 or 50%, some crazy numbers. I don't want to misquote Bernie, but the numbers are crazy. It's enough to just say, what the fuck is going on here? It's that bad about the income inequality and the corruption that we have. So I agree with Bernie on all that stuff. My problem with Bernie is that Bernie just did not have enough of a black agenda. He would not talk about black issues. And it left me frustrated as hell. But in this discussion between Lindsey Graham and Bernie Sanders, it's very clear. One, the Democrats ain't up on shit. They're just as in a lot of cases, when it comes to campaign financing, when it comes to corruption in the elections, they have to use terms like, we don't want to unilaterally de-arm ourselves. I don't want to de-arm myself against a Republican. But what we end up with are Democrats that are very similar to the Republicans who want to get tax breaks too, who allow the same type of bullshit government that we have under Republicans. I don't see it changing all that much. And the same people stay in power using this in this crony capitalism where the friends hook up the friends and that's who's getting it. This ain't a free market context. It's not a free market situation, and they keep on benefiting. But on balance, Bernie won this debate hands down. If Lindsey Graham couldn't talk about these dog whistles of racism and xenophobia, he would have had no debates, no rebuttals whatsoever. It was all smoke and mirrors, nonsense, grasping at straws, as Bernie hit him with data and facts. But sadly enough, it's not data and facts that always win the day. It's emotions as well. And when people are hurting, they don't want to hear data. They want to hear who's the bad guy so they have someone to hate. It's similar to the Buffalo shooter. We know who they choose. The Buffalo shooter chose black folks. Lindsey Graham chooses undocumented aliens. Oh, and these progressives or whatever they are who want to defund the police. Is that that's got anything to do with how fucked up our economy is? And why tens of millions of Americans are on the brink of being evicted? It ain't defund the police that has chicken wings, $5 a pound. All right, Johnson. I'm Tim Black. Find me at Real Tim Black on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Tim Black Show on TikTok. I'm Tim Black and that on Instagram. And I'm Uncle Tim around the way. I used to be Super Tim, but those days are long gone. Because I wore the Super Tim last. All right, Johnson, let's check the comment section to see who's in the house. Do I have any comments? Ramona Lawson, it's not the check you want, but love it attached. Hey, it's all good, Johnson. Ramona, thank you, Ramona. You saw I tried to give you a little shout out earlier. Yes. Thank you. Bose Einstein for moderating as well. Vonnie the Content Boutique, Sir King Bishop for being here. Nancy Drew, Context Matters, Keith Weston in the house, Susan Gould. My people for holding it down on a Wednesday for the Pause with Tim Black Show. Remember, guys, tell people about this podcast. I still believe in it. I think it's got great upside. It's a great opportunity to kind of to get the word out on some different topics. And tell a friend about it and get them a subscription. It's a free subscription. Shogun, 1982, in the house. Try to grab all my Tim Black Wolfpack members. Thank you so much, Johnson, for being here. I appreciate you guys. This show is not done without you, Violet and Content Boutique. This show is not funded by anyone except viewers. Viewers fund the Tim Black Show, okay? That's who funds the show. So become a viewer of the show. Help keep the lights on. Sign of the Times, thank you so much for doing all that you do. We appreciate you, Sign of the Times. Did I shout out Nancy Drew? What the hell? Nancy Drew, Katrina Wilson, what's up, sister? Lisa Friedman, hello. David Melford, once again. This is it. Tony D, this is it. This is us. This is our crew. We are a community. We are the Tim Black Wolfpack. We do Pause with Tim Black on Wednesdays. Tuesdays and Fridays, we have a call-in show. We need a big call-in show on Friday because our phone line had a situation yesterday. But we'll be back Friday with that phone line cranked up. So hope that you join me. 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Freedom Friday show. Hope that you become a member of the show, either here or on YouTube or on Patreon. YouTube, Facebook, or Patreon. That's it, three places. I want to say hello to all my YouTube people, but also all my Facebook members. I got a few Facebook people that are hanging with me. I appreciate y'all. Yes. All right, guys, that's really all I got. Nothing but love for you. If it ain't us, if not us, who? Hashtag we are it. Hashtag it's on us. Hashtag people over profit. People over party. That's what it is, Johnson. No easy wins. You have to fight for it. I'm down to fight for it. Najee, I'm down to fight for it, brother. I'm not going to give people false hope that we can continue to do the same things and look for different results. That's what we're not going to do. We're not going to keep doing the same thing. I'm not going to co-sign us continuing the same strategies. The strategy must change. Yeah, you want to be siloed and chase away everybody else. It's not going to get it done. If we don't expand the coalition, this is what I believe. This is where I'm coming from. If we don't expand the coalition, there's some of us who will make a lot of money, but all of us will not succeed. I love y'all. I see you on the next one. Wolfpack.